Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, in recent months, the huge level of respiratory illnesses here was leading to a shortage of both over-the-counter and some antibiotic medications. Last year, many women around the country experienced huge problems sourcing HRT patches. So how often is it difficult to get hold of medication that you might need? What impact has Brexit had? And is this a problem that has always been with us? Well, who better to answer some, if not all, of those questions than Adam Maguire, RT business journalist. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Claire.
Good to have you with us. So the point of this is it's not a new problem, is it?
No. Medicine shortages are kind of the thing that bubble away in the background, and they have done for a long time. And unless your medicine is in short supply, you might not have really realised it. And I suppose it's really no different than any kind of product where issues will crop up in the supply chain, or supply and demand go out of whack, and it takes time for that to be readjusted. But the complicating factor with medicines, of course, is that so much more can go wrong in the process, and it's a much bigger deal when shortages crop up. You know, people can get by if a certain type of food isn't available for a few weeks, or if they can't get their hands on a certain gadget for a few weeks, but medicine is much more important mm-hmm. than that. And it's for that reason that the European Union has been paying more attention to this in the last decade or so. It's trying to keep better track of what's happening at a regional level. National bodies also charged with monitoring what's going on at a local level. In Ireland, that's the job of the Health Products Regulatory Authority, the HPRA. They've been in charge of following medicines and shortages here for about 4 years.
So explain to us then why the problem has been so noticeable for so many people in recent weeks.
Well, it's hard to compare like with like, because a shortage of one medicine might not be as big of a deal as a shortage of another, depending on what it is. But I think it's fair to say that the shortages and the number of shortages seen in recent weeks are far in excess and far more noticeable and important than what you might consider normal. And there is no one reason for this. It is a really complex machine that makes it possible to have medicines on demand usually at any given time. But one part of the reason that we hadn't noticed shortages in recent years is because there were huge stockpiles built up in the likes of pharmacies because of fears Brexit would disrupt supply. Then we had COVID, so it made sense to hold on to a bigger stock than normal. That backlog, though, has been worked through. So now pharmacies and distributors and so on have the normal amount of medicine that they would do. And that also happened to coincide, as you say, with a period of you know, a lot of illness in the community. Yeah, we know that massive spike in flu, COVID, RSV, scarlet fever all through December and January, that led to higher than normal demand for the likes of paracetamol, ibuprofen, antibiotics. And of course, we weren't the only country to experience this. It mm-hmm. happened really across the world. Health systems everywhere dealing with this surge in these kind of respiratory illnesses at a time, you know, following 2 years or so of very little activity, relatively speaking, because of COVID lockdown. So you had this huge global demand for products, and it seems as though the manufacturers just weren't ready for that.
And why weren't they?
Well, they'd be producing medicines in the summer for the coming winter. So they'd have to do a kind of forecasting to try and figure out what demand would be like months in advance. And one thing they usually do is to look at previous year's sales. But even if they'd compared it to the last normal winter, they would have undershot. The HPRA recently said demand for some medicines was 2 to 3 times the normal level of what they'd see during the winter. And of course, if they included the COVID sales period, they would have undershot even more, because demand for the likes of antibiotics actually fell during COVID lockdowns, because people weren't catching as many other illnesses because of lockdowns. So their figures would have been completely skewed if they're looking at that data. And that's all assuming a best case scenario that everything else was working for manufacturers, which of course is never really the case.
And I thought they were all watching Australia, where they saw that huge flu peak in their winter, and that the predictions would have been based in part on that. But obviously they got it wrong.
Yeah.
And they had other problems to deal with apart from their predictions being off, didn't they?
Yeah, because issues are always going to crop up in a supply chain, no matter what kind of product you're making. But a lot more can go wrong with medicines, because understandably, they're heavily regulated. So the standard is going to be a lot higher for the products than any other type of product. And it means that, say, if you're struggling to find a certain ingredient for your medicine, you can't just swap it out for the next best thing. You know, you've gotten your authorization on a medicine, on a particular formula. You have to stick to that. If you want to change it, you essentially have to apply for a whole new authorization. And it creates issues in certain medicines, because the pool of producers of raw ingredients is actually quite shallow in many areas. The hunt for the cheapest possible supply of generic medicines, for example, has reduced the number of firms producing active ingredients for the likes of paracetamol to just one or two in countries like India and China. India and China actually estimated to produce about 60 to 80% of all of the world's active ingredients for medicine. So a real concentration of what's a key component in medicine in just a couple of countries, and within that a couple of producers. And it means there's very little room in the system to scale up production if there's a sudden spike in demand. They just don't have the room in their factories. And it also means there's no backup when manufacturing is disrupted within those producers. So it might be a quality control issue that forces a factory to scale down production or stop altogether. Or it could be hit in other ways. You know, Chinese factories last year were regularly shut down because of the zero COVID policy, ports as well. So it meant those producers couldn't get their products out of the country to places like Ireland.
And places like Ireland, that's where we're focusing on, because it has been claimed that there's a particular issue here and that it comes down to price, what we pay.
Yeah, a claim that Ireland is paying a lot less for many medicines than European peers. So just to try and explain how this works, the HSE will set a price that it's willing to pay for a particular medicine. And at the moment, that would apply to what it pays for its own supply and also what it reimburses pharmacies for medical cards purchases and patients. In theory, the price is also... or for private patients who go to a GP and buy it themselves can be different. But the HSE and medical cards would account for about 60% of all medicines. So it's a big part of the market. And then pharmacies probably aren't going to have wildly different prices for the same product. So it generally means the HSE price sets the tone for the market here. So very important. And it's usually based on a kind of European average. But the older medicines that would have been priced before this system came in, based on that European average, are set on an old rate, and they haven't changed basically in the whatever number of years it's been since they've come to case. And you're talking about some old but still very important medicines like amoxicillin, the antibiotic. It was first developed in the 1960s, so when it got to Ireland it would have been priced a long, long time ago, and that price effectively hasn't changed, even though we've seen the cost of raw materials change, the cost of manufacturing, distribution, obviously in recent years with energy prices going up. And it means that old price that made sense 20 or 30 years ago doesn't make sense anymore, but it hasn't changed.
That's interesting. So what does that mean for supply then?
Well, the claim is that if a manufacturer has a shortage of supply, they're going to allocate what they have to the places with the best price. So if Ireland has a lower price, then it's going to be towards the bottom of the table in terms of what they get.
It's about cold hard cash.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, these are businesses and they will look to maximise the revenue. The HSE does say that the price isn't a big factor at the moment, is not really a contributing factor to the shortages that we're seeing in the country. But I mean, they are a business. It does make sense that they would to some degree do that. And we've actually seen Portugal in the last few days increase its prices by 5%, up to 5%. So medicines, for the same reason, that they realise they need to pay more to secure more supply. But another problem that a lower price can create is that there are fewer suppliers in the market in the first place. Pharmaceutical company Azur has been tracking shortages in Ireland for a couple of years now and says that over Christmas 40% of the medicines out of stock had just one supplier. The normal rate here is around 30%. It went up over the Christmas period. The European average usually around 25%. So even at that rate, you're talking about a quarter of products that are out of stock where you're relying on one firm. And it means then that if you know there's a problem with supply from that one producer, you don't really have a plan B ready. You know, you don't have a second supplier you can turn to and straight away say, can you ramp up supply to cover that gap? Mm-hmm. And amoxicillin is one of the medicines where that's the case, where we have one supplier, and that means that if they have a problem, the whole country has a problem.
And on the price issue, you mentioned Portugal there looking at what they're paying. Are you aware that conversation is underway here?
Not that I've heard, and apparently it's a very simple change. It's not like it's a massive legislative thing. It's just a case of going back to the old medicines and using the system that's applied to newer medicines now as well. But there is a lot of work, in fairness, that's done with these shortages. I spoke about the HPRA, their task with monitoring these shortages. Manufacturers have to let them know if they see a shortage coming down the tracks or if one is happening at the moment. And they then have to try and work with the various elements of the system to find a workaround. So that might be seeing what supply is in pharmacies, making sure the right people are getting that it's being properly managed, looking for alternatives. For example, maybe communicating with patients if they have an alternative to say, this is slightly different, here's how you have to use it instead. And it was actually used to quite positive effect in 2018. There was a shortage of adrenaline auto-injectors in the UK, people who have allergies. It was spotted by the HPRA. Work was done to make sure that the same problem didn't crop up here, and it was avoided. And there are also efforts at European level to try and smooth out these inconsistencies across countries and share data better. And I suppose the goal of the HPRA and the European authorities is to have a system that works so well that we don't actually notice they're doing anything, that things just run smoothly. It's when a problem crops up that suddenly people are aware of the work that's going on.
Adam, thank you very much. That's Adam Maguire there, RTE business journalist. We'll take a quick break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.